So that means keep on asking, keep on thinking, but then keep on looking for me to do exceeding and abundantly. Above all that you can ask or think. Amen. I'm going to blow your mind is what God is saying there. See, I got some stuff for you you don't even know about. And it's good stuff.
Yes.
I know you've been hearing the scuttlebutt around town about bad stuff that's coming, but my stuff is good stuff.
Yes.
And the devil can't do nothing but yield when the Most High God has spoken.
Yes.
Amen. Not only that, but when you have spoken, that's the good news. It don't have to be necessarily him. He said, I give you authority.
Yes.
Hallelujah. To speak my word. And if you speak it, you're going to see that again next week in Sunday school. Just speak my word.
Yeah.
Don't make no difference who you are, Jew or Gentile, black or white, male or female. Speak my word with authority and faith.
Yeah.
And watch and see what happens. Amen. We're going to go right ahead. We've been talking about this year as a theme, learning to love like Jesus. Amen. And that's not going to be easy. We already said that. We submitted that it's going to be very difficult. In fact, possibly even impossible for us to do it. But God said you can do what? All things through Christ who strengthens you. So it might be humanly impossible. But guess what? Through Christ, it can be done. Hallelujah. So we're going to move right into another segment of this lesson. If you missed the other ones, they are online at sttmbc.org, which is St. Timothy Missionary Baptist Church.org, reduced to 5 letters, STTMBC.
Yes.
Okay. And we also, just so you know, and I'm not boasting, but I just want you to know we bought all those domains, sttmbc.com.net.org.
Yes!
Because we don't want that to belong to nobody but us. Amen. So they all belong to St. Timothy. Amen. And you can come in other ways, teachingbible.org and .com and .net. We bought all them too. So nobody else on earth can own them either. Amen. So we're trying to reach out to the world. But on another note, we're going to talk today from the book of Micah from the Old Testament, chapter 6. Verses 6 to 8, and also from Luke, the Gospel of Luke, Dr. Luke, we like to call him, 6:27-33, and our key verse in all of these lessons comes from John 13:35, where Jesus said, by this all men shall know that ye are my disciples if ye have love one to another. Read that with me one time, that John 13:35, by this that ye are my disciples if ye have love one to another. Okay, that's our central theme for the year. We're working on that because, you know what, the devil does a lot to wreak havoc among the saints. Because if I can get y'all fighting with each other and hating on each other, then I can mess up y'all whole thing.
That's right.
It's because I'm going to look down on somebody across from me.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody in the who God has covered with his blood.
Yeah.
See, so if I can mess you up in here, then y'all ain't going to get out there and talk to nobody.
Right.
So by this, he says, shall all men know that ye are my disciples.
Right.
This is the badge of your discipleship,
right,
if ye have love one to another.
Yes.
Care for one another in a serious way. This is not some superficial love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is not like the songwriters. It's not no 50-50 love. I'm going to love you 100. And it's by this that all men will know that you are my disciples.
Yes, sir.
So something about how you love on each other.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that's in all these lessons. That's the theme. But today, we're going to read Micah chapter 6. Read this with me out of the King James, Micah 6:6. Wherewithal shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Amen. That's the old covenant of the word of the Lord to the people of the Lord. And now for the New Testament scripture reading, let us read in Luke 6, from 27 down to 33. Luke 6:27, but I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them that hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other, and him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And he shall... Let's read that again, 31. As ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. Amen. We have read the words of Dr. Luke, the words of Jesus, recorded by Dr. Luke. You may be seated in the sanctuary. And may God add a blessing to the hearing and the reading and the understanding of his holy word. Amen. We want to use for a subject just for these thoughts today, walking out the requirements of the love of Jesus. Walking out the requirements of the love of Jesus. Now, Jesus has requirements. You know, he came into the world because he is the love of God in the flesh. He came to make disciples. There was no secret about that.
That's right.
What is a disciple? We talked about that before. A disciple is a learner. Not some fancy elevated cast of people who walk around with their nose up so high that they get nosebleed. Not like that. It's a group of people who are learning from Jesus.
Yes.
Jesus, therefore, is the teacher. You and I, who are disciples, are the students. We are the learners. Yeah. See? And you know, and Sister Robbie will tell you this, and some of you others who teach, you can have students in the room that are really not learners.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They can be in the room, but they really ain't paying no attention to what you talk about.
Yep.
Amen.
You can be in the room and be a student, but you're not a learner until you latch on to what the teacher is teaching.
Yes.
Amen.
You got to latch on to what thus saith the Lord. What did God say? Latch on to what he said and then begin to execute that in your life. You know what? Some of what God said is not going to be easy for you to do. You know what? I find a lot of stuff God said is not easy to do. When you went to school, was it easy? Everything you heard the teacher say, was it easy to do?
Nope.
Or was that something you had to scratch your head and maybe wait after class and say, hey, teacher, I didn't get this here.
Yep.
You went over this here. You know, and in my case, it was math. Math was tough for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm the kind of person who cannot learn unless you make some sense out of why I need to know this.
Mm-hmm.
Have you, are any of you like that? You
yep.
might not be.
Oh, yeah.
If I can understand why I need to know this, Brother John,
mm-hmm.
I can hold on to it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I can hold on to it.
Yep.
But if it's something abstract, you know, talking about some square roots of this, that, and the other, and you know, the tangent of so and so. I said, "What? Wait a minute now! You know, you're giving me all these terms, but I don't. What do I need that for?
Yeah, right.
You know, my mind's somewhere else. I'm thinking about something I do understand." So you over here telling me about isosceles and all kinds of different stuff. Like, what? Okay. You know, my mind ain't on that. That's the way it is. And maybe math was easy for you. Y'all might have went through math. It was easy. Oh, you knocked that off. You can do all that stuff, you know. You know the square root of 2, and you're good with all that. You know, and maybe that's you.
Yep.
But you know what? You might go to history or geography and go, oh, who cares about what's going on in Finland?
Yeah.
Now, where is Finland anyway?
Yeah.
You know, was a bunch of fish over there or something? Or what's up with that? Why is it Finland? I can't get it. I mean, there's different obstacles to learning and understanding different things.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
See? And so we all have them.
Yeah.
A lot of people came to Jesus because they loved what he was doing.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
They say, boy, this is supernatural.
Mm-hmm.
We were fishing and we ain't caught nothing. Came in, was washing our nets. He told us, get back out there and cast your nets for a catch. See, we said, Lord, Peter said, Lord, don't you see we done? We've been out there all night. We didn't catch nothing. We cleaning up now. You must not understand this fishing business. Luke 5, you can read that. And you know what? He said, well, Jesus must have been looking at him like, did you hear what I said? I don't know. But somehow Simon said, okay, well, we'll throw a net out just to make you happy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to throw one down there just to show you that I know what I'm talking about. I'm the fisherman. I heard you was a carpenter. We know about you, but I'm going to show you what fishermen do. Throw that net down there. Get it over with. Let him see what's up.
Uh-huh.
They threw the net down. It was so full of fish, it started to sink the boat.
Yep.
Sink the boat over.
Wow, well, you do know something about fishing, don't you? See, hey, I thought I was a master fisherman. But they still pulled the net up, the net started to break, the boat started to sink. There were so many fish. Peter's reaction was he fell at Jesus' knees. In Luke 5, read it yourself. He said, depart from me, O Lord, for I'm a sinful man. Because I know you got to be God.
Got to be.
And he said, throw that net. And you said, throw the nets, and I only threw one. That's why they break it up. If I had obeyed you, did what you said, maybe my nets wouldn't have broke.
Wow. Right.
My Lord.
But I threw one down there.
Mm-hmm.
And now I had to tow up my net and sink in my boat. Because I didn't do what you said.
Wow.
See, we got to listen to what God says.
Yes.
To be a disciple, we need to learn what he said.
Amen.
You know what? You don't. Sometimes you don't know the reason why the teacher's saying what he says.
Amen.
And like me, I had to understand it. I think these disciples were kind of like that too. Mm-hmm. Peter trying to figure out how you, a carpenter, you going to tell me how to fish.
Mm-hmm.
That don't sound right. Something ain't right there. But there was a block in his understanding that when God tell you to do something.
Yes.
It don't make any difference what he told you.
That's right.
It don't make no difference if you don't understand it.
Amen.
Don't make no difference if you ain't feeling it.
Amen.
You may not be feeling it.
That's right.
Yeah, I ain't feeling that. I ain't doing that. Or you may have a mental block. I tried that and it didn't work.
All right.
Nope. But what did you try when I told you to do it?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
That's right.
Yeah. So we need to learn to love like Jesus.
Yeah.
Like you said, that sounds disconnected a little bit there. We began to talk about this. According to the word of God, what it means to be a disciple is that we are stewards of the Great Commission.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, when God had defeated death in the grave, Jesus in Matthew 28:18, got up out the grave.
Yeah.
You know what he said? All power is given to me.
Oh,
in heaven and earth.
Mm-hmm.
And he told his disciples, go ye therefore and teach.
Mm-hmm.
Make disciples of all the nations.
Yes. Yes.
Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son.
Yes.
And of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Know what else he said? Lo, I am with you.
Always,
even to the end of the world.
Yes.
So that's not ever going to change, folks. There's never going to be any other purpose for the church.
No other.
The primary purpose for the church is go into the world and teach.
Right.
Did you know you were called to teach?
That's right.
Some of y'all sitting there, you say, I don't know, I'm not no teacher. I might be whatever, this, that, or the other, but you were called to teach.
Right.
You know why it's something else that you're doing? Because God wants people in all those areas of what you're doing
yes.
to be taught.
That's right. Amen.
That's right.
He wants folk in your family to be taught.
Mm-hmm.
He wants people on your job to be taught.
Right.
He wants the neighbors on your street to be taught. He wants the folk who you don't like and they don't like you to be taught.
That's right.
He wants the people who say somebody else is God to be taught.
Because
there is no other God but one.
No other.
He wants somebody who has the boldness to explain that there's only one God.
One God.
One Lord, one faith, one baptism.
One mediator.
One mediator between God and man. The man, Christ Jesus. See, you have to have boldness
yes.
to be a student of Jesus.
Yes.
You know why he wants people to be taught that? Because that's the highest form of love is to tell you the truth.
That's it.
Yes.
That's it.
If I lie to you, what good is that doing you?
No.
No.
I'm going to lie to you and tell you, well, you know, Buddha might be able to help you. For political correctness.
All right.
There was nothing about, back then, well, the church eventually came to be called Christians. Mm-hmm. In Antioch, mm-hmm. was the first place they were called Christians.
Right. Yep.
The book of Acts, chapter 13.
Amen. Amen.
See what I'm saying? And so now Christianity has taken off in the world.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of what goes on in the name of Christianity is not of Christ.
That's right.
I gotta tell you, just because it says Christianity mm-hmm. doesn't mean it's of Christ.
That's right.
So you and I, this is another reason why we need to be disciples.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be able to sift through the true and the false.
Yes. Right.
You got to know the difference between the chaff and the wheat.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
You got to know what's true and what's false.
Mm-hmm.
Is that biblical or not?
Mm-hmm.
And I say biblical because people always say, well, how do you know you can trust the Bible? That's what they like to say. I say, I know because God wrote it.
Yes, he.
Mm-hmm. You know, he wrote it, he supervised it, and if it ain't right, he must not be God. That don't make sense. That don't make sense. How are you going to be God if you don't know how to write the truth? That's a foolish supposition. You know, and I will, you know, there's mistakes in the Bible. I say, yeah, that's because you haven't read it and you don't understand.
Amen.
God is the Most High. If He spoke and the world came into existence, don't you think He can give you His word?
All right. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
So I want you to understand, it starts off with trust and faith. And it's so much so, learning to love like Jesus is because Jesus believed what God wrote.
Mm-hmm.
He taught what God wrote. And He fulfilled what God wrote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And all the time when there was a controversy with Jesus, His answer is, well, it is written.
It is written.
That God said this, that, or the other. He always said it is written.
Mm-hmm.
The devil came and said, hey, why don't you make these stones into bread?
Mm-hmm.
You hungry? You've been fasting for 40 days.
Yeah.
You the Son of God? Why don't you turn these stones into bread?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You can do that. Jesus said, well, it's written, but man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.
Yes.
God's got some other words. Well, the devil said, well, that one didn't work. Let me try something else. So, you know those temptations of Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
And so he was tempted, but his defense was God's word.
Word,
right.
Every time, and it was the Old Testament at that time, because the New Testament didn't exist yet. But you know what? Salvation can be found in the Old Testament. Guess what the apostles preached? They preached the Old Testament. Everybody who got saved when the church was founded heard what Moses said.
That's right.
They heard what Isaiah said.
Amen.
They heard what Micah said.
Mm-hmm.
They heard what all the prophets said, what the psalmist said.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus told those Emmaus Road disciples, remember that they didn't know who he was because they didn't believe.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, old fools and slow of heart to believe all mm-hmm. that the prophets have spoken. Should not the Son of God have come in here and suffered all these things that it says in the word? Isn't that what God said?
Yeah.
And then proceed into his glory?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That's what it said. Why are you confused? Why do you think there's some problem with that? It's wow. And then he opened up the book and he started to show them in the Psalms and the prophets and the law everything that had been written about the Messiah. What the Psalms, the prophet, and the law, guess what that's called? You put it together, it's the Old Testament. Because there was no New Testament yet. See? And he showed them everything pertaining to himself that was written.
Yes.
And that's what they preached.
Mm-hmm.
So don't let nobody tell you, well, you don't need the Old Testament. There's a lot of folks out there, different kind of people. But if you are a true disciple of God, then you're going to be one who wants to learn. You're going to realize you are a steward. That means we don't own this knowledge, but it has been entrusted to our account to teach it to another generation.
Yes.
And pass it on. We talked about that last week. We talked about the ex-people, folks who were here before,
mm-hmm.
who left us here,
mm-hmm.
and they're going on now to glory, many of them.
Yeah.
You see? And then we talked about the next people.
Mm-hmm.
That's the folks under you
yeah.
who need to be trained up in the Word of God.
Yes.
And so we can leave a righteous seed on the earth, and that will continue because that's what the church is. It's a perpetual set of people who love God, believe His Word exactly for what it says, and know they need to teach it to another generation
mm-hmm.
so it can continue until the trumpet sounds. And we don't know when that'll be. Jesus said the trumpet could sound at any minute. Paul taught that the trumpet could sound at any minute. And the dead will be raised incorruptible. And then he said, we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus shall we ever be with the Lord. Paul said that, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, we shall all be changed. 1 Corinthians 15:51. But let's get back to the subject here, because we got some stuff to cover. I just wanted to talk about a few things about who we are and whose we are. Now, as we look here, what are we commanded to do, and just how should we do it is the question. If we are commissioned by God, what is taught in the Bible, both Old and New Testament, since we have both now, about the qualities of the love of Jesus, which are to be learned by true possessors of the gift of his calling. In other words, you would not come. Did you know this? The reason you're a Christian, if you're saved today, is that somewhere along in your life, you were minding your business, just like Simon Peter, who we just talked about. He was out fishing, because that's what I do. I'm a fisherman. And he got called. God called him to come away. And I'm going to make you a fisher of men. I don't think it's a coincidence that I was born in the Fisher family. A fisher of men. That's what he said. I'm going to make you a fisher of men. You're going to stop fishing for fish, and I'm going to make you fishers of men. Okay. Think about that image. Fishermen go out. They go out every day. They come back with fish every day. You know, some of them get away every day. Some of them fall out while they're pulling in the ones they're getting. But they're out fishing every day. That's what they do. God says, I'm going to make you fishers of men. See? And why? Because he loves all the people.
Yes, he does.
He loves the fish that got away. So God has done that to me and you, and we are stewards of the Great Commission. And we are commanded to do this, and God has given us instruction how we should do it. So let me ask a couple of questions here before we dig into these texts. What is taught in the Bible, both about the Old and the New, both of the Old and the New Testament, about the qualities of the love of Jesus? Well, we're going to see. Which are to be learned by the true possessors of the gift of his calling. You and I are going to learn what those are. And let me challenge you today, because you're going to be challenged when you start to do this, because you're going to see some stuff happen in your life that's never happened before. Okay, John 3:16 is a universal command. Y'all already know it.
Yep.
By heart.
Yeah.
Why? Because it says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Okay? So there are no people who God does not love.
That's right.
Don't let the politicians and the political folk and the,
yes,
all these folk tell you that your message is politically incorrect. No, it isn't. It's universal.
Yes, it is.
It's extended to everybody.
Amen.
Every living soul.
Amen.
There isn't anyone who does not need the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
There isn't anyone that Jesus did not die for.
That's right. Amen.
And if you don't believe it and you don't get in on it, it's not his fault. Because it's true for you no matter who you are. It's universal. It's the only true universal message in the world.
The only.
Because we accept anybody, no matter who you are, old, white, black, young, Chinese, name something.
Yeah.
You know, anything you name, you're covered.
That's right.
God gave his Son for you.
Amen.
And if you trust him, there's one and only one way to be right, and that is through his Son.
All in one.
God has configured the world around his Son. I don't care who you are.
Right.
Mr. Putin over there in Russia, your clock is set on the birth of Jesus. Your calendar is running on the birth of Jesus. See what I'm saying? And Acts 4:12, there's salvation in no other, for there's no other name under heaven which has been given among men whereby we must be saved.
That's right.
See? And it doesn't make any difference what they say. That's one you can hardly deny. It's 2019, folks. What does that mean? Y'all know I say that. And I'll put that on your mind. If Buddha was so important, why come it's not BB before Buddha? And I'm not trying to make mockery. I'm serious. I am serious.
Amen.
Psalms number 19, we looked at last week, said the law of the Lord is perfect. So don't let somebody tell you, hey, there's some flaws in the Bible. Yeah, you are the flaw, because the law of the Lord is perfect.
Yeah.
Converting the soul. That's how the soul is converted from lost, sinful, to saved and holy.
Model.
The testimony of the Lord is sure.
Sure.
Making wise the simple. Mm-hmm. God says, I got wisdom for you, and it's in my word.
Yes.
Y'all, that old antiquated book is going to make me wise. Yes.
Yes,
it is. Yes. It's going to convert your soul, make your soul go from lost to saved.
Amen.
It's going to take you from wherever you are to wherever God wants you to be. It is the vehicle through which you and I are made holy. That's why I'm talking about learning to love like Jesus. Square one is be saved. The love of Jesus, what about it? What kind of love is it? It's a sacrificial love. Let's think about the sacrificial element of the love of Jesus. What did he have to risk? You know what? The whole gospel sounds kind of risky when you think through it. You face to face with God in eternity.
Yeah.
Before everything. God knows already before he made anything, before the foundation of the world, man is not going to keep my law.
Mm-hmm.
Only gave him one. He blew it. God knew that before Adam was ever made. Have you thought about it?
Yep.
He knew when I do this, he understood the etymology of the devil, how he's going to do what he's going to do.
Yep.
God knew that. And he went on and did what he was doing. Because Christ had already decided, Father, when it's time to redeem them, I'll go down and redeem the people who really love you.
Mm-hmm.
That way they can be completely free.
Model.
To do whatever they want.
Thank you, Jesus.
And you are completely free. But that's why the Bible says Christ is the Lamb slain, what? From the foundation of the world. That's before the world existed.
Mm-hmm.
God always knew the gospel would be so.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a sacrificial love. It would require him something. He would have to set aside equality with God. That's what Paul talks about in Philippians 2, that being in the form of God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but took upon himself the form of a servant and was found in fashion as of a man.
Yes.
See, he came from being Almighty God the Son, face to face with God, to being born in Mary, coming out of Mary's womb.
Model.
Wow, that's really a low down step, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Equality with God to take on flesh in Mary's womb, conceived by the Holy Spirit. Now, people stumble over that. But if God made man and made the birth process, why do you think that's a problem? That he can make his son come into a virgin through the Spirit of God. I created the first seed that started everything. I sent Michael a thing the other day. I'm going to digress just 1 minute. Some scientists have said, oh, we set up in our laboratory, and now we figured out that 4 billion years ago there was a cataclysmic explosion out on the outskirts of space and slammed in all the correct elements to make up Earth and life to exist. Blew up out of that explosion, and that's how life got started. Okay, that's it. And then one piece of it bounced off and became the moon. I said, oh, really? You got explosion going into a perfect sphere.
Right.
Okay. And you think it takes faith to believe what God said?
Wow. Yep.
Come on now. I want to write him and ask him, how old are you, sir? You better try to figure it out before you get out of here.
Yes.
Let's move along. I digress. The love of God is satisfactory to God because the love of Jesus is satisfactory to God. Because
mm-hmm.
Jesus came in order to satisfy God. You know why? Nobody else could do it.
Nobody else.
Nobody.
There's none like him.
None.
Nobody could pay the bill.
Right.
Except God himself. So God humbled himself, took upon him the form of a servant, was found in fashion as of a man. And he humbled himself unto the point of death, the Bible says. Even the death of the cross, not just any old death. A shameful, disgraceful, humiliating death.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine that.
Mm-hmm.
Stripped of all your clothes in the public. That's enough to humiliate most of us. We would die of a heart attack already.
Mm-hmm.
If I put you, strip me off and push me out the door in the middle of Dr. King Drive. Are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
Think of the disgrace and the shame.
Yes.
Then you spit on me and you mock me and ridicule me, pressed crowns of thorns in my head and all the stuff they did to Jesus. This was in the public. Wasn't in the back room or the basement or down in a dungeon. This was on a public street in one of the most popular cities at that time. Terrible, humiliating, disgraceful. The love of Jesus is eternal. It existed already, and I have to always remind the church of this. When the Bible says God is love, I like to remind you that God does not change. Malachi 3:6 says, I am the Lord your God. I change not.
I change not.
Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Why aren't you consumed for all that sin you're doing? Because I don't change, and I made a promise to save you.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
My promise is good. I got to do it for my sake. It ain't got nothing to do with you. But I love you and I set my love on you. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to change no matter what you do. Mm-hmm. So if it says God is love, he has always been love. He always will be. That doesn't mean he's a pushover. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean we should abuse that love. Mm-hmm. We need to. What we need to do and what God wants you to do is learn that love.
Yeah.
Learn how to be like Jesus.
Amen.
Have those characteristics for yourself. And you're going to have to pray on this, church. We are not going to get there without prayer. That's what we looked at last week. Paul said, I said all I can tell you about theology, but now I'm going to bow my knees to the Father because I'm going to pray that he gives you the revelation of what I'm talking about.
Amen.
So it's eternal. The love of Jesus is holy. The love of Jesus is supernatural. It's spiritual. And this is the one I love the most. The love of Jesus is available.
Yes.
It's available to you and me. We don't have to go high and low and search the earth. It's right here for you.
Mm-hmm.
All you have to do is hear the promise and believe it.
Mm-hmm.
That God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. No matter who you are, you will not perish if you trust in the name of Jesus and believe that God is raising from the dead. So now let's look at some of the teaching about what Jesus has taught us. As we look, I'm going to go to the Old Covenant first here, Micah chapter 6. He says here, and people have always wanted to know, what do I need to do to be saved? What do I need to do to be right with God? What is it that I can present to God that will make him happy with me, with my mess? Wherewithal shall I come before the Lord? And bow myself before the high God. How can I come and worship you properly? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings? That was the standard from all the way back from the beginning on up until this time. My burnt offering. And all that was doing was showing you a foreshadowing of Jesus.
That's all it was.
That I'm going to give a sacrifice for you. That started when Adam sinned.
Mm-hmm.
God made the first burnt offering.
Yep. Yeah.
He made a sacrifice and covered Adam and Eve with the bloody skins.
Mm-hmm.
They kept trying to cover themselves with fig leaves and all that. God said, no. I told you the day you sin, death will
come in.
So he showed them something has to die to cover you for your sin. There must be death in the shedding of blood for the remission of your sin.
Mm-hmm.
Put a footnote if you want one, Genesis 3:21, right next to that.
Mm-hmm.
So Micah's asking now many generations later, wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or 10,000s of rivers of oil? What does it take to make that breach made up so I can be right with him? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression? Something really precious to me. The fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? And then the answer comes back from the Holy Spirit. He has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly? And to love mercy. And to walk humbly with thy God. That's the relationship we want right there, Micah 6 and 8. We want to do justly. That means do things right. Do things that are fair. Do things that are equitable. Not do things that are dishonest or otherwise. He says to love mercy. In other words, think about it. You found mercy. Don't withhold it from others.
That's right.
Share it with others. And how are you going to do it? One way, walk humbly with that God. In other words, understand God has to energize me or I'm not going to find it in myself to do it.
That's right.
There was some corrupted stuff in here even though I'm saved.
Because
I got attitudes. Y'all got tudes too.
Mm-hmm.
We get on a tude, then we don't do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Or or we hold something against somebody, or we judge somebody, or we find something wrong with somebody. Yeah. God said, love mercy.
Love.
You know what mercy is? Mercy is when I don't give you what you deserve.
All right.
Thank you, Jesus.
I give you grace instead.
Yeah.
I give you space. Yeah. Your space and grace are two things folks need sometimes. Sometimes they need a little space, because I might have to give you some space for my sake. Because I don't like what I see. But I'm going to give you space, and I'm going to go over here and pray about what I don't like.
Yeah.
Till I get myself right.
Amen.
See, I'm going to walk humbly with God, because I know I got issues.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to put some space on that thing, and instead of putting you down, I'm going to pray you up.
Yeah. Come on, man.
That's what you got to do. That's loving like Jesus. Now, Jesus didn't really, he did the space thing too. Sometimes he would go off into the mountains alone and pray. Why do you think he did that?
Yes, he did.
I got to get away from y'all. Y'all dripping.
That's right.
Up to the mountains.
There you go.
And they don't know where he went. What's funny to me, nobody followed him. They said, where is he? Where did he go? He knew how to get away from
it.
So I got to get away. Sometimes. But when he went, he was in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
See? So in order to love like Jesus, you might have to get away from the situation that's ugly that you're dealing with. And go somewhere and pray.
Yeah.
Think about mercy all the time, though.
All the time.
I'm not going to cut you off or diss you like we like to say. I'm going to just diss you and that's it. That's a done deal. I ain't going to never have to see you no more. See what I'm saying? That's what we do. Because we don't love like Jesus did. You see, but this is what God wants us to do. So remember that. Now, thus far, we have been learning to understand and apply the things that God is teaching us about how to love like Jesus. And we can conclude that the fuel for this highest level of love, which we call agape, is obedience to the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God, but also fervent prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, as we have heard from the Apostle Paul. We looked at that last week, Ephesians 3:14-21. Here's a little factoid. A head full of knowledge will make us more guilty in the day of judgment, because we knew just what to do, but chose rather not to do it. That's what Paul taught the Corinthians. He told them, now concerning things offered to idols, that's something really odious to you. We all have, we know that we all have knowledge,
yes.
But knowledge puffs up.
Yes, it does.
In other words, it makes you arrogant. And me, we get arrogant when we get a head full of knowledge. Boy, I know. You know, and then we get on a pedestal. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. Love builds up.
That's right.
See, knowledge is puffs up. Sometimes we know so much we're a biblical egghead. And then we start to look down on folks and all that kind of thing.
I know that's right.
See, so knowledge makes you a big, like it's puffed up means exactly that. It's like you put yeast in the bowl. How many of y'all make bread? Y'all might have seen your grandma or your mom make some bread. You throw that yeast in, the bowl starts swelling all up, and it's like, wow, you know. That's how we are. We get knowledge and then we're puffed up.
See?
You know what I'm saying? So, but love edifies. Love builds up. It doesn't puff up. So the prophet Micah teaches us that it is not in the size or the quality of our offerings that God is impressed, that we can impress God. And in the case, and in this case, our sacrifices, things that are dear to us or cost us the most, do not justly those are the kind of things we think. We tend to think, oh, I gave a big offering at church and God should be helping me. Well, it doesn't work like that. God's not looking at any of that. It's a good thing to support your church. In fact, the Bible commands you to support the church.
Amen.
The church has always been supported by the church.
Always.
In its inception. They had a treasury right there with the 12. And they contributed into it and other people contributed into it. They weren't asking the state for anything.
That's right.
See? Back then, the church should still be supported by the church. If you love God, we can see it by how you support the church.
Amen.
You see what I'm saying? All of that is critical because we want to finance this to another generation.
Yes, we do.
You see what I'm saying? So we should have no problem with that. Examine yourself there. That's a good place to see if you love like Jesus did. Remember they told Jesus, oh, you know what? Well, Peter said, hey, man, we owe taxes and they after me and they're going to get you too. I heard the rumor. You know what he said? He said, go down there and see Peter and catch a fish. That's what you do, right? Get the first one you get, pull him up, open his mouth, and go pay your bill and mine. The Lord knows how to pay what you owe.
He does.
He can tell you you what to do. You might be surprised.
Amen.
God will tell you what to do, how you're going to get this money you need.
Right.
To handle the situation you're dealing with.
Amen.
You see, so don't discount God. Sometimes we carry a load and we don't need to.
Wow.
We need to settle it in the prayer room, in the prayer closet.
Yeah.
I like that movie, War Room. Sometimes you got to get in a war room and start to pray. And God's going to make a way. So we need to understand that. He said he wants us to do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God, which is to say, be honest and fair.
Yeah.
Be flexible. Don't just be rigid, stuck, oh, I do it like this because I've been doing it like this.
Mm-hmm.
And be prayerful toward others and all others outside, be toward each other. We need to be prayerful for each other and all others outside the body of Christ. Don't throw nobody out.
Right.
We don't have the right to throw them out,
nobody
to count them out, discount them, none of that. Because you don't know what God's going to do.
Right.
You know, if you knew where I was when he found me, and I'm speaking for myself. Now, I know y'all been brought up in godly homes and y'all was pristine from early age. But if you knew where I came from, you know, he reached way down to pick me up. So I'm not going to diss anybody. I might have to take a break, pray about it, because this is not what I want to deal with here. But that's what should happen. We should do that. Have mercy toward others outside the body of Christ. And so finally, let's look at a few verses from Luke and we can wrap this up. But I say unto you which hear. Now Jesus says, notice that Luke 6:27. I say unto you, and here's a group, which hear. I'm talking to a whole group, but how many of y'all hear? That's the question. Some people ain't listening.
That's right.
Oh, I hear you, or I even hear you, but I don't believe what you're saying. You know, I hear you talking.
I hear you.
Hear the sound going on. But I'm not listening. He says, so I say this to you, which hear. Love your enemies, because everybody ain't going to hear that.
Well, I ain't hearing that.
Do good to them which hate you. What? That's our first response. Bless them that curse you.
What?
There you go. Pray for them which despitefully use you. What? Same thing, right? And to him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away that cloak, forbid not to take that coat also. See, you know what? First thing we do, boy, somebody take something from me, you are no good. Sucker you, and we go into a bag. Can't stand any losses in life. Losses. Man, you borrowed my stuff, never gave it back. I will never ever forgive you. That's the way we are. Sometimes. Y'all ain't like that. I see y'all quiet out there. Y'all don't have that kind of stuff. Well, how many times I'm going to do this for you and you tell me you're going to do for me and you don't?
Ouch, ouch.
Well, you need $10 every time I see you. Or whatever. See what I'm saying? Jesus said, I'm talking to you who hear. Some of y'all don't hear. But the ones who hear, this is how I want you to act. Give unto every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. In other words, concentrate on how I would like you to do me. That's the thing I want to do.
That's it.
If I came to you with a situation, how do I want you to do me? See, we don't think that. And we put limits on it. Like Peter said, Lord, if I forgive my brother seven times, is that enough? Jesus said, no, I say not unto you seven times, Simon, but 70 times seven.
Yeah.
You know, his love was so much deeper. You can put up with it longer than that. It's not going to kill you. Your heavenly Father's merciful. Be like the Father. See, keep on forgiving. You know what? If he didn't do that, I'd be in a world of trouble myself. I'm going to speak for Fisher. I would be in a world of trouble. God said, okay, that's it. Enough of you. That's it. I'm done. And we do that. We diss people and set them aside a lot of times because we're through, because we can't take no more. But when you get like that, that's when you got to break away and pray like Jesus did. And I'm sure he got like that many times. But this is enough of this. No, and then at some point, Jesus did confront them. Remember that in John 6?
Yes, he did.
There was a big old crowd of folk following him. Well, we love Jesus. Gotta get some more Jesus. He said, oh, yeah, you know what? Y'all are following me because you ate the loaves and the fish and were filled. He confronted them. But unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you.
Uh-oh.
They said, what? That's a hard saying. We can't understand that. Okay, well, we'll see you. That's it on now. They took off. He divided the crowd after a while. And all you gotta do is confront people with the truth. You know? And he didn't want them to leave. He wanted them to try to understand that hard thing that I said. So God wants some of us in here to understand the hard things that he's saying and get with it. Then he looked at the 12 and said, y'all don't want to leave too, do you? And said, Lord, to whom shall we go? We don't have nobody to go to. And you're the one who has the word of eternal life. No one else. So we got to get a little flexible in how we do things. You see that? So Jesus' teaching here in Luke's gospel is written to the ones who hear him, which means that some are not listening to God. But for the ones who are, hopefully us, we are to tenderly handle antagonists, even against their hatred, their cursing, their abuse toward us, which is exactly what God has done toward us. When we were not saved, the heart of the King, and this is the heart of walking in the love of Jesus, the King, walking with him. See that? I'm just about done here. I just want y'all to know, try some of this yourself. Pray about it. If it's not in your heart to do it, you probably already got folks in your mind right now you're thinking about. And when you do, pray about it. When we learn to walk out the requirements of the love of Jesus, that's what he said. We're going to walk these things out, start to practice them every day. We'll get better, better and better. Think about this, and I just have a couple of statements I want to read, and I want you to think about these as you go. Saul of Tarsus began to walk out the requirements of the love of Jesus and became Paul the Apostle to the Gentiles. When he had realized the requirements to forsake the works-based righteousness of traditional Judaism and trust completely in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary and be led by the Holy Spirit of God to understand and apply the truth and the truth and the true interpretation of the scriptures, and to dedicate the rest of his life to spreading this gospel as far as humanly possible in his time, regardless of the toll of personal suffering and discomfort it costs, till the day of his death. That's the way he walked. He rode. This is how I rode. Now, but think about how he was before.
Yeah.
See? I'm going to take this up personally. And I don't care what it costs. He went all the way till he laid his head on Nero's chopping block and the government said, that's it for you. And he hadn't done anything wrong.
Nothing.
See, but he fought the good fight. He kept the faith. See, that's walking out the love of Jesus. Change your life. Now here's another one. Just an example. I could give you a million and I'm not. Don't worry about it. Your roast will still be good. Onesimus, the runaway slave who stole from his owner, Philemon, began to walk out the requirements of the love of Jesus when he was saved through the hearing of the gospel from Paul in the prison and was sent back to Philemon, his owner, with a letter requesting forgiveness for all his wrongdoing against Philemon and a request to charge whatever Onesimus had done wrong rather to Paul's account. He gave him the letter. Take that back and give it to Philemon.
Model.
Let me ask you this. Did that work?
Wow.
Well, that don't sound like that'll work. What, I stole from you?
It did. It worked.
Left your place?
It did, yeah.
Went on out, took whatever I took.
Yeah.
Now I came down here and I got saved.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul, who also got you saved,
mm-hmm.
said, hey, look, you know, I know Philemon. Here, take this letter.
Wow.
Give it to him.
Wow.
And go back. Onesimus said, yeah, I'm not into that one, brother. And you know what? We would have never seen the epistle to Philemon.
That's right.
But it was delivered by Onesimus, the one who had done wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So he had to change his way.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to know about that, if you don't know, read Philemon. It's only 25 verses. You can read it in just a few minutes. And it's powerful.
Yes, it is.
But that's what you call walking out the requirements of the love of Jesus. In the general epistle of James, my last example, he closes out this profound word from God to the church by indicating how we as members of the body of Christ are to operate one to another in the area of oversight and forgiveness by saying, "My brethren, if any among you strays from the truth and one turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins."
Wow.
Look at that. That's the closing statement in the Epistle of James. He said, "Any among you." Oh, I thought it was no sinners among us. If I correct you, if I find out where you're not right and help you get back right,
yes,
I'm restoring your soul.
Yes.
And I'm covering a multitude of sins. The greatest example of this is the cross.
Yes.
Here it is, God himself coming in here.
That's right.
Among the whole world of sinners. He already knew they were going to hate him. He knew they were going to spit on him. He knew they were going to nail me to a tree. Spit in my face, find me guilty, hang me up on a cross. Already predicted the spots in Abraham back there long ago with his son. Told him to offer Isaac right here. And Paul said, "He who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things?" See, he knew that already. And he did it, as the Hebrews writer says, "For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down on the right hand of the throne of God." He was successful. Messiah was successful. His success is for your salvation. And he loves you just like you are. Not only for your salvation, folks, it's for your healing. Mm-hmm. It's for your mercy.
Yes.
It's for your forgiveness. Mm-hmm. It's for your building up and your prosperity. All of that is in the cross. God covered it for you. Mm-hmm. You can do anything if you trust the Lord. Do justly and love mercy and walk humbly with your God. In other words, have a good relationship with God. And no matter where you are, God will take you through. If you're not saved, I want to let you know God loves you just like you are. Mm-hmm. You have never done anything for which he is not willing to completely forgive you.
Yes.
Nobody in here is in here because we're so righteous that we belong in here. No. Not at all, but God loves you just like you are. Mm-hmm. And if you trust him, he will give you free salvation that you can count on for the rest of your life. Amen. Let's stand and have a word of prayer. Eternal God, we bless you, we praise you, we thank you for giving us lessons that will stretch us to the limits of our ability and beyond. And Father, if there's anybody in here just understanding who you are today and why you did what you did, let them know that it is for their account and it's for their salvation. And all they have to do is receive it. It's a free gift. No one can earn it. No one deserves it. But you give it freely to whosoever believes in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And believe that you raised him from the dead. Father, bless them right now with the assurance of salvation. Fill them with your Holy Spirit. Lead and guide them to the truth. And take them on through the rest of this life. Let them be fishers of men, just like you call all of us to be. And we give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory. And we ask all this in the name of Jesus. Work on our spirits, Father. That we can be people like that, Father. Those extraordinary people who rely on you in difficult circumstances that try to purvey your mercy to others.
Yes.
To just convey that, Lord, where they can understand what mercy is and not be hurt necessarily. Father, we pray that they would be able to receive it from us and that you would make us able to give it, oh God. And we ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, to whom be glory and majesty, dominion and power. And we thank you in his name. Church here together. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hope you got a good word from the message.
Amen.
Amen. We want to thank God for